And I realized that every institution in Alberta is compromised. Every institution closed ranks and backed AHS. Then I went to the courts, and then I realized the courts are compromised, and virtually almost every single judge is corrupt and has backed the AHS mafia. Then my patients started dying, and about 2,500 of my patients have died or have been physically harmed. I then put those patient names into the court record, and Justice Averill Inglis had those names struck from the court record, protecting AHS. I had a court order put that I had to destroy all evidence of the murders that of my cancer patients that AHS committed. I was to never share any of those documents with anybody. I also have a court order that I'm not allowed to go to the RCMP and I'm not allowed to go to the police and actually file criminal complaints against these individuals who've basically murdered my patients. And so I've been put in a very fascinating, you know, situation legally in this province. And I can tell you every single NDP MLA and every single UCP MLA knows exactly what's happened and the criminality of what AHS does. So that's my background. Now we come to the pandemic, and I'm in a situation where my license was taken hostage by the College of Physicians and Surgeons because I wouldn't sign a $400,000 bribe offer and non-disclosure agreement. They take my license, they hold it hostage, and they say, we're never going to allow you to practice medicine until you sign that $400,000 deal with AHS, sign a non-disclosure agreement. And now we have an additional stipulation that you have to declare yourself mentally unfit to practice medicine and mentally incompetent. And it was basically that you were a mental case, and that's why you accused AHS of sabotaging your cancer program so that they could get off scot-free. And so I told the college to take a hike and keep my license, medical license. And so they didn't expect that. And so they had no ways of kind of like tainting my license other than they put me through a college hearing. They ran up the cost of the college hearing to $75,000. And then they said, you either pay the $75,000 or we cancel your license. I said, cancel my license. So that was extortion. Again, that's all documented. So
it's my very great pleasure to introduce Dr. William Mackus to this evening's show. Dr. Mackus is a Canadian physician with expertise in radiology, oncology, and immunology. He has quite a story to tell from his time as a nuclear medicine radiologist at Cross Cancer Institute, which includes exposing government corruption, his response to COVID-19 mandates and warning of the deadly harms of the mRNA injection, the reported collusion of healthcare officials covering up child sexual predation within the system, and his most recent announcement that he will be filing criminal charges against Alberta Health Services and the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta and others who have been involved in extortion and ongoing threats against him and his family. Will you all please help me welcome Dr. William Mackus. Dr. Mackus, thank you for joining us today and welcome to the Empower Hour.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so really grateful to have you on the show. You have so many things going on, and it was hard. It was a difficult decision for me deciding on what conversation we would have today. And for those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Mackus, he has been on the front line exposing the sudden deaths of doctors, athletes, nurses, children, not only in Canada, but around the world. And so if you're not familiar, be sure to follow him on his Substack. We're going to make sure that we have that in the chat right now. We will put it in the description when we launch this video. And I just think it's really vital that you receive his emails and information. But on the other side of it, you have also exposed something very nefarious going on within the medical health system, not only in Alberta, but tying into British Columbia. So I want to hand the floor over to you. And would you like to share screen? Because I know in other interviews I've seen you on, I don't think normally you have the opportunity to give a personal presentation on the information that you have. So how would you like to move forward?
I think I'll start giving an introduction about Alberta Health Services, and then as I go into some of the cases, maybe I'll share a screen just to show some pictures and sort of make things more alive.
Okay, and before we get started, I just want to let people know that Action for Canada reached out to not only Christy Bland, Alberta Health Services Media Relations, but we also reached out to BC Health Officer Bonnie Henry's office for comments, and neither departments have responded to us. And so in fairness, we wanted to give them the opportunity to respond to what it is that you've been exposing. So I just thought that was a little tidbit that was of interest moving forward. So again, back to you.
There are about, half a dozen Alberta Health Services lawyers who track my every single post. It's their full-time job. They track every one of my social media posts. They track all of my Substack articles. So they would have received the pedophilia articles that I've put out, for example, that have gone viral internationally and that seem to have led to the resignation of Rachel Notley, former Alberta Premier Rachel Notley. She resigned 10 days after my second article that I had released on the pedophile scandals that occurred during her government. So I'd like to start by giving a little bit of an introduction about Alberta Health Services. Maybe I could start about introducing myself just a little bit. I am a Canadian physician. I did all my medical training in Canada. I was born in Czechoslovakia. I fled communism in 1988 through a United Nations refugee camp. I learned to speak English at this United Nations camp. We were graciously given an offer to come to Canada as refugees in 1989. And so we came to Canada in 1989 as refugees with nothing but a few clothes and a few belongings and maybe $100 in our pocket, if that. I grew up in Toronto. My dad is a mathematics professor at University of Toronto in the Department of Mechanical Engineering, and that he spent his entire career working there. I grew up in Toronto. I did my schooling at University of Toronto. I have an undergraduate degree in immunology, a four-year honors bachelor of science. So I do have immunology background and training, which gives me at least a little bit of a background in terms of the perspective, having a perspective on this pandemic. And then I did four-year medical training at McGill University, five-year additional specialty training as a nuclear medicine radiologist on oncologist. And I get viciously attacked on this all the time that I'm not a radiologist, I'm not an oncologist. And when I talk about, the turbo cancers, for example, that are being caused by the vaccines, that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not a board-certified oncologist. I'm not a medical oncologist, I'm a nuclear medicine oncologist. So this is a specialized branch of oncology that deals specifically with diagnostics and treatment using radioactive medical isotopes. So it is a particular specialty. However, I have been a primary oncologist to hundreds of cancer patients here in Alberta, treating them as a primary oncologist. So I have that background. I've diagnosed over 20,000 cancer patients. I've treated several hundred cancer patients under my direct care. So yes, I do know what I'm talking about, and I do have an extensive background. I also am a cancer researcher. I've published over 100 publications in international journals, all peer-reviewed, spanning three continents. And so I'm fairly extensively published, although maybe not as extensively published as Dr. Peter McCullough, who's one of the most published doctors in the world. So I do have extensive medical background, medical history. I came to Alberta in 2013. I first started working in Manitoba, Brandon, small town in Brandon, Manitoba. And I ran my own nuclear medicine department there. And I wanted to be in the cutting edge of cancer diagnostics and treatment. So I came to Alberta. I was given a job offer by Alberta Health Services. It was a long-term contract. And I was told that the door was open for me, and that they had cutting edge equipment and technology and a huge cancer program. And so I was recruited by Alberta Health Services to come here to be a top cancer researcher and a cancer physician. I was the top PET CT reader in the province. I read the most PET CT scans in the province of Alberta. About 1,000 of those a year. And I also ran a very large cancer center focused on medical isotopes and targeted radionuclide therapy. We were curing end-stage cancer patients, stage 4 cancer patients with targeted radionuclide therapy. We had about an 85 to 90% cure rate. This was a phase 2 clinical trial that was approved by Health Canada. It was approved by AHS. It was sponsored by University of Alberta. And it was an extremely successful trial, a large cancer treatment program, and I was getting referred patients from all around the country. Now, what I didn't realize, what I had no idea, was that Alberta Health Services is one of the most corrupt institutions in North America. It is run by organized crime. It is a mafia. It is one of the largest money laundering operations in Canada. I don't want to say it's the largest because I know there's a lot of money laundering that goes on in British Columbia, you know, with the real estate and the casinos and so on. But Alberta Health Services has to be either the top or the top two money laundering operations in Canada. I had no idea this was the case. And so when my cancer program was sabotaged by the Alberta Health Services leadership under Rachel Notley, who had just been elected a few months before, this was in at the end of 2015, I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I tried to, you know, negotiate with AHS. I tried to plead with AHS. All I wanted to do in this life was diagnose cancer patients and treat cancer patients. And that AHS was not going to allow that. I didn't know why. It turned out that my cancer program was going to be copied, completely copied and rebuilt by Justin Trudeau in Vancouver with collaboration of University of British Columbia and BC Cancer Agency, which had actually received a $20 million anonymous donation, the largest donation in BC Cancer's history. Why? To rebuild my cancer program in BC. Trudeau also hand-delivered a $10 million check to Dr. Francois Bernard, Vice President of Research at BC Cancer, to restart my program, and then committed another $300 million to build facilities to do my cancer treatments, medical isotopes, and to call themselves global leaders in this new cancer, cutting-edge cancer field. And they were going to monopolize it and be the only center doing it. There was going to be many private clinics that were going to be attached to this. And so Justin Trudeau and all his friends were going to get rich off this. They were all personally investing money into this so that they could get a cut, a piece of the pie. In Vancouver, they were actually, there was this thing called the Innovation Boulevard, which was supposed to be the Silicon Valley of healthcare of North America. And all the liberal mafia people were involved in it at every political level, from municipal to provincial to federal. So people can look into this themselves. They can do some digging if they wish. This is all public knowledge. So, you know, I ran across corruption at Alberta Health Services really by accident, because I was at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong cancer treatments. And, you know, at first, AHS came after me in terms of they were just going to pay me out. They were just going to, you know, they put a $400,000 offer on the table for me, and they were just going to pay me out. I was going to sign a large non-disclosure agreement document, which I still have and which I've made publicly available. In what is really an incredible scandal that there was this bribe that was put in front of me, and I have it. And this was under Rachel Notley's government, authorized by Rachel Notley and her health minister, Sarah Hoffman, who is now running for leadership after Rachel Notley resigned after the pedophile scandals that I published just before she resigned. So I've been at this for a long time. This was, you know, before the pandemic. I've been fighting in the courts. I've gone to every institution in Alberta to fight what had happened to my cancer program. And I realized that every institution in Alberta is compromised. Every institution closed ranks and backed AHS. Then I went to the courts, and then I realized the courts are compromised, and virtually almost every single judge is corrupt and has backed the AHS mafia. Then my patients started dying, and about 2,500 of my patients have died or have been physically harmed I then put those patient names into the court record, and Justice Averill Inglis had those names struck from the court record, protecting AHS. I had a court order put that I had to destroy all evidence of the murders that of my cancer patients that AHS committed. I was to never share any of those documents with anybody. I also have a court order that I'm not allowed to go to the RCMP and I'm not allowed to go to the police and actually file criminal complaints against these individuals who've basically murdered my patients. And so I've been put in a very fascinating, you know, situation legally in this province. And I can tell you every single NDP MLA and every single UCP MLA knows exactly what's happened and the criminality of what AHS does. So that's my background. Now we come to the pandemic, and I'm in a situation where my license was taken hostage by the College of Physicians and Surgeons because I wouldn't sign the $400,000 bribe offer and non-disclosure agreement. They take my license, they hold it hostage, and they say, we're never going to allow you to practice medicine until you sign that $400,000 deal with AHS, sign a non-disclosure agreement. And now we have an additional stipulation that you have to declare yourself mentally unfit to practice medicine and mentally incompetent. And it was basically that you were a mental case, and that's why you accused AHS of sabotaging your cancer program so that they could get off scot-free. And so I told the college to take a hike and keep my license, medical license. And so they didn't expect that. And so they had no ways of kind of like tainting my license other than they put me through a college hearing. They ran up the court, they ran up the cost of the college hearing to $75,000. And then they said, you either pay the $75,000 or we cancel your license. I said, cancel my license. So that was extortion. Again, that's all that's all documented. So I am basically I was retired. I was pushed into retirement out of medicine by AHS and the College of Physicians and Surgeons at the age of, now this would have been age of 38, 39. So pretty much at the start of my medical career, they have effectively destroyed my medical career, my license. And over the years, now as I've been more and more vocal online, and as I've been building a bigger following online, they've come after my family as well. I'll sort of talk about that a little bit later on. So, you know, now the pandemic hits, they take me to court to try to have the court order that effectively I can't speak on my social media accounts, including Twitter, about corruption at AHS and the college. The court throws it out. This is court decision 2020 ABQB 245. Anyone can go look this up on Canly, one of the most important court decisions. Probably the only victory that any self-represented litigant has ever had against AHS. And that court decision issued by Justice Terence Claxon actually allowed me to speak up online and say whatever the hell I want about AHS, about college, about Rachel Notley, about Sarah Hoffman, about pedophilia, child sex crimes, child pornography that they're involved in. I don't really have to censor myself. I don't have to be careful. I can tell the truth. I will never be sued for defamation because the judge asked AHS flat out, you're accusing Dr. Marcus of defamation, that he's defaming AHS executives. Why have you not filed a defamation claim? Because they don't have a claim. Everything I tell is the truth. And so, you know, too bad for AHS.
Well, one day they're going to have to end up in court with you if they silence you right now, and you're going to have this evidence to bring forth with you. They know what's coming, Dr. Mackies. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening, as I'm sure the viewers, in awe of everything you've done. And just to interject just for a moment, I just want people, the viewers, to understand what you were already doing on the front line of exposing the corruption within the health system by prohibiting people with cancer to get proper care, and to let that sink in, that so many people have died because of what took place in that facility. And I know there was further corruption. I think it was one of the head of AHS, one of the executives, I believe it was his girlfriend, who had filed a complaint against you. I think I read that somewhere as well. Is that correct?
So that was because the thing is, When they put the $400,000 offer in front of me, they had no way of confiscating my license because I'd never had a patient complaint in my entire career. And they had already blocked me from working for 2 years. So how can you get a college complaint? How can you take my license hostage and get a college complaint? So they basically bribed one of the girlfriends of an AHS executive, Dr. Sandy McEwen. And this girlfriend, he was basically taking her on conferences on taxpayer dollars, on really cancer research money. He was taking her on lavish trips around the world, Barcelona, Spain, in the United States, you name it. And he's a defendant in one of my lawsuits. So she actually had called the college and filed a complaint against me. And so they created something out of nothing. They bribed her to testify against me, that I threatened her at some conference. I had never threatened her. I had run into them in this conference, but I'd never threatened her. And so that's what they used to come after my medical license. The reward that she received was she was made chair of the faculty, University of Alberta, Faculty of Rehabilitation Medicine. She was a data clerk. She was a postdoc student data clerk, had zero academic credentials or history, and they made her chair of a faculty of rehabilitation medicine. This was her reward for testifying against me at this college hearing that they ran up to $75,000 fees against me. Again, this is all documented, and this is why they're so afraid of me, is because I have extensive documentation of all the crimes that they've committed, and it involves also the University of Alberta leadership, because you know who protected her? The vice president of University of Alberta, the provost, because when I filed a complaint at the University of Alberta against her, It was the vice president of the University of Alberta, Stephen Dew, who actually threw my complaint out and protected her and said, "Oh, we're not even going to investigate this. This is you're just making stuff up." And so I have the University of Alberta leadership embroiled in this corruption scandal, you know, working with AHS and so on to bury all this. I don't want to focus too much on this history of this complaint, because I can tell you I was blacklisted by all media in Alberta. I was even blacklisted by Rebel News. I've been blacklisted by Western Standard, True North. There's no even alternative media in Alberta that were courageous enough to cover this story. Because when it comes to AHS, and this is what I want to focus on, AHS is the shadow government of Alberta.
And can I just, I know that somebody's already asking in the chat, so why would Rebel News and True North blacklist you? What's the tie there? Their ties, I know they're very tied to the Conservative Party. They won't touch Action for Canada, which is very discouraging to me, because we're getting into every community and mobilizing people and saving lives. And like, we have literal evidence of the lives that we've saved and the jobs. And they won't report on us because of our views of the Conservative Party right now, that their leadership, put left Canadians behind during COVID, and they're only rising up now because they want to be elected. But anyways, let's get back to what's your experience with them. I'm just curious.
Rebel News, my experience is that they will not touch Alberta Health Services because Alberta Health Services is too powerful. And part of this, unfortunately, comes to, and, you know, I want to sort of segue into talking about what Alberta Health Services really is, because it involves the Conservatives to a large degree. They have their hands dirty at Alberta Health Services as well. So Alberta Health Services is a fascinating entity, and I've learned all of this through my legal actions and through the documents that I obtained as part of discovery, because I have gone through a discovery process in my lawsuit against Alberta Health Services, QB 1603-18935. We went deep into discovery. So not only did I obtain about 50,000 pages of documents, but I also was able to interview about 8 AHS executives under oath. So I have transcripts of that. And what AHS did after that is that they've basically flooded the court with applications to try to freeze my lawsuit from going forward. But what I've learned about AHS is very fascinating. Alberta Health Services, and this is important to know, not just, you know, for the vaccines and all that scandal, the lockdowns, the way they came after Christian pastors, but really also the pedophilia and child sex abuse scandals that AHS is involved in as well. AHS was created in 2008. There was a mafia guy that came from Australia. His name escapes me right now, but he helped the conservatives at that time create this amalgamation of the health authorities. It was 8 or 9 health authorities that were amalgamated to create this entity called Alberta Health Services. And what it did was it created a single healthcare provider in the province of Alberta, and it concentrated the power at the top layers of this power structure of Alberta Health Services. And it's really fascinating because the AHS organizational structure, the leadership structure, is extremely complicated. So there are layers upon layers upon layers of bureaucracy. And, you know, we laugh now that really every healthcare worker in Alberta has 10 to 15 layers of managers and bureaucrats above them. And that is true. Every single employee of AHS has anywhere from 10 to 15 layers of bureaucracy above them. And it's incredible that there would be this bureaucratic structure. And as you go higher up in this pyramid of this bureaucracy, the power just gets stronger, and like you get more and more power as you go towards the top. Initially, the AHS budget was $9 billion, and this was considered outrageous at the time, $9 billion. It is now $23 billion, and it consumes half of the Alberta provincial budget. That's why I refer to AHS as a shadow government that runs a lot of things in Alberta.
Absolutely.
Because they literally consume half of the provincial budget every single year. This is taxpayer money. Now, what's fascinating is, as AHS has been described legally, now it's a corporate entity, it's been described legally as being at arm's length from the government, so they don't really have to give the government any financial statements, they don't have to really answer to the government at all. Now, you have the health minister is somewhere at the top of the AHS organizational structure, where I think either the AHS board or the AHS executive kind of has to report to the health minister, but they don't. And they are their own mafia. They are their own empire, their own entity. They take the money, taxpayer money, and they basically tell the politicians to go to hell. Now, they had a good relationship with Rachel Notley and, you know, the NDP government. And what Rachel Notley did was, in 2015, Rachel Notley did a purge of the top layers of the executive, AHS executive, and anyone who was a staunch conservative or who wasn't aligned with the Trudeau-Notley alliance was kicked out. This was AHS CEO Vicky Kaminsky. This was head of AHS Cancer Control, Dr. Paul Grundy. This was AHS Vice President, Dr. David Mador. And there were a few others who were just kicked out, just fired, locked out of their offices, and removed if they were not leftists, if they were not on board with the leftist agenda. Justin Trudeau had just gotten elected as well when Rachel Notley did this purge. And so in the late 2015, Rachel Notley installed Dr. Verna Yu. And this is very important because Dr. Verna Yu has effectively run this mafia since 2015. And even though Jason Kenney got rid of her in April of 2022, she is now the vice president of University of Alberta. And so she basically controls the university on behalf of the healthcare mafia in the province. But she led this mafia for 7 years. And that's important because before she was put in charge, you know, the running joke was that AHS CEOs get replaced every 6 months. And it was this kind of a revolving door. Because there was kind of a, you know, always sort of a little bit of struggle for power at the top.
But Dr. Mackey, I'm just going to share screen for a moment so our viewers can see who these players are as you describe a couple of them. So this is Verna Yu right here. This is who you're referring to.
She was installed by Rachel Notley as the interim AHS CEO in December 2015. She was made full CEO in June of 2016. She was given a 5-year contract by Rachel Notley. And then Jason Kenney extended her contract for another 2 years, did eventually fire her in 2022. But Verna Yu actually ran the entire pandemic response for the province of Alberta. She's responsible for persecution of Christian pastors, including Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky. She is responsible for the vaccine mandates in Alberta on all 105,000 healthcare workers. She oversaw the pedophilia scandals during Rachel Notley's government. She ran the whole thing. She was actually named, there was a one magazine that named her the second most powerful woman in Canada behind Dr. Theresa Tam, who was named the number one most powerful physician or what have you, female physician in Canada. She was number two. So tremendous power that she exercises on behalf of the Trudeau government and really the leftists in Alberta. So she ran the show for 7 years. And Rachel Notley also had installed an AHS board in late 2015. This AHS board was chaired by Linda Hughes, who had won the Order of Canada. Linda Hughes had been the CEO of Edmonton Journal. She was actually a media mogul. She's a rich individual. She was a media mogul, was CEO of one of the largest media outlets in Alberta, the Edmonton Journal. And she was the board chair of AHS. And so what happened was that during Rachel Notley's entire government, none of the AHS healthcare scandals got out. Because all the healthcare journalists worked for the Edmonton Journal, and they would not report on any of the scandals that occurred at AHS. And I know this personally because I went to Keith Gurain, one of the key healthcare reporters during that era. I went to him with my court documents, stories, and everything. And after a few months, he said, "I'm not allowed to report on your story. Like, don't bother me again. I will not report on it." I also went to CBC investigative journalists Charles Russell and Jenny Russell, award-winning journalist Jenny Russell, and they said that they would never run my story. They would never cover my story and what happened to me and my cancer program. So the media it has to be understood that AHS, as the shadow government of Alberta, and the media protects AHS at all costs. They will not report on anything that happens at AHS. They will not report on the scandals.
No, and when we're talking about this, I've also spoken with a former police officer who investigated our health offices, the provincial health offices across Canada, and they are an arm of the World Health Organization as well. And they take marching orders directly from them. And it concerns me because we know that Tedros is firm communists, and that's what we're dealing with at the UN level. That's why for years I've been saying we need to completely move out of the UN. But it concerns me about Dr. Yu, about Dr. Tam. Are these CCP operatives working within Canada in high levels of government? And, you know, these are things that we definitely need to say out loud, and there needs to be an investigation. And so as we move forward, then please feel free to share your screen, show who some of these individuals are. I let's move towards, it's very, very important to know how scandalous this group of individuals are and how they cover for each other and how they covered for a fellow doctor, a comrade who had, been tried and convicted of sexually assaulting a child. So I just want to hand that back over to you and say, please feel free. Terenzio can set you up for sharing your screen if need be. I want people to see these faces. I want them to know who Bonnie Henry is, the health officer in BC, Minister of Health, Adrian Dix. Actually, Terenzio, bring my screen up for just a moment. Because I love that you have these images on your Substack. And that's, of course, Notley. I'm not familiar as well with Sarah Hoffman, but if you could scroll up a bit, this is the former premier who sort of disappeared. He's going into, I think, mining big business to make himself, I'm sure, billions of dollars. Terenzio, is it just me, or can you scroll up so we can see the bottom of the screen so we can see John Horgan, Adrian Dix, and Bonnie Henry?
One moment.
Not sure. Yeah, that's okay.
Well, what I can do is
I
could share my screen and I could actually start with this graphic and kind of move forward.
Certainly. You bring up a
very important point. And the point that you bring up is that AHS is a conduit of globalism. It is a conduit for the World Economic Forum, because HS signed a deal with the World Economic Forum in the summer of 2020. And really, this is where Jason Kenney, if he had any designs or desires to clean up the corruption at Alberta Health Services, once AHS had signed a deal with the World Economic Forum in the summer of 2020, it was over. He had basically given up control of our Alberta's healthcare system to the globalists. And they've basically been aligned with all the globalist propaganda and activism ever since. And so AHS is a conduit for these globalist institutions, not just when it comes to the vaccines and the pandemic response, but also with the transgender stuff, also with the concept of mature minors, and this whole pedophilia scandal. Now, these pedophilia scandals are fascinating, because I ran into them almost by accident by investigating the college and trying to see who else did the college persecute, who else did they go after, because only 2% of college complaints ever go to a hearing. And I was dragged to a college hearing because I would not take AHS's $400,000 bribe. And so I wanted to see, well, what other, kinds of situations go to a hearing. And I was shocked to realize that there are child sex scandals that actually never make it to a college hearing. They protect those individuals. And so as I dug deeper, I realized there are huge pedophile scandals here at AHS and the college. So, Sarah Hoffman is actually a key player here, because not only is she running for leadership right now, but she was the deputy premier of Alberta for the 4 years of 2015 to 2019. So she was the second person in charge of Alberta after Rachel Notley. And she was also the health minister in charge of Alberta Health Services. What's fascinating is that it is under Rachel Notley's government that these pedophile scandals really start, and that the sexual assaults against children by these powerful individuals at Alberta Health Services and the college, they really start only under Rachel Notley's government. And so, the story I had was this was the story. This was an AHS executive, Dr. Albert Devilliers, was the chief medical officer of health in Alberta for the Northern Zone. So there were five zones in Alberta. He's the chief medical officer of the Northern Zone, one of the five zones. So a top AHS executive by any measure. He was given an NDP contract back in 2015. He survived the purge, so he swore loyalty to Rachel Notley and Justin Trudeau. And he started sexually assaulting a seven-year-old boy in 2017. He had befriended this family. Victim was between ages of 7 and 9. He befriends this family. They start sending their child for sleepovers at his home. It was a very bizarre story. And he starts sexually assaulting this boy, and he's sexually assaulting this boy for years. It turns out he's actually sexually assaulting several other children during this time. And what's interesting is that he's not arrested in Alberta. He actually goes to British Columbia in the summer of 2020. So here we have RCMP tells us that the sexual offenses occur between 2017 and 2019, but he goes to British Columbia. He goes to Kelowna, BC in 2020, and the BC NDP makes him the chief medical officer of health of BC Interior Health under Bonnie Henry. So again, BC has several health authorities, and he's the chief medical officer of health, BC Interior Health under Bonnie Henry. So he's involved in the in the lockdowns and in the rollout of the vaccines, persecution of doctors, and all of this. But he's finally arrested in June 2021 in British Columbia. The boy testifies that he showed him pornography, touched him, and all this. It's a very horrific story. But what's fascinating is that the BC NDP government actually puts him on paid leave They put him on paid leave. Let me find this that story. So these are the BC officials that he worked under. He worked under Dr. Bonnie Henry. He worked under BC Minister of Health, Adrian Dix. And of course, the NDP Premier was John Horgan. Now, when you're getting a big position like a Chief Medical Officer of Health, you're going to need approval of all of these top individuals. So BC and NDP puts him in a huge position. And they, once he is charged with sex crimes, they put him on paid leave. And they pay him about $350,000 a year while he's on paid leave until his trial. So the BCNDP ends up paying him over $700,000 in public funds, despite the fact that he's been arrested for sex crimes against at least three children. This was a huge scandal. And so he has his trial in Alberta in 2023. He is convicted of sexually assaulting that 7-year-old boy, and he is given a 5.5-year prison sentence. Five and a half year prison sentence. And actually, the Crown prosecutors dropped the charges for the two other children that he was sexually assaulting. So BCNDP gave him over $700,000 salary until he was convicted, put in prison, and then they stopped paying him. So this is a scandal that involves both the Alberta NDP government and the BC NDP government. Now, where it involves the Alberta NDP government, I'll show you something fascinating here, is because he was not only an AHS executive as the Zone Medical Officer of Health for the Northern Zone, but he was also the pediatrics lead for Ministry of Health. This is Sarah Hoffman. Now, he has no pediatrics training. And yet, Sarah Hoffman appointed him as the lead under her Ministry of Health. So now, this is now the Alberta government, separate from AHS. She appoints him head of pediatrics, even though he has no pediatrics training whatsoever. And this is, you see, December 2018. This is when Sarah Hoffman is health minister. So why did they appoint him as the pediatrics lead for the Alberta NDP government? No explanation is ever provided for that. And so, you know, this is one of these stories that no one has really dug too deeply into. Fortunately, he was convicted and is serving a 5.5-year prison sentence, which in Canada is very difficult. You know, usually child sex offenders in Canada are promoted to higher positions. You know, I'm sure in the Trudeau government, he would probably be made Deputy Prime Minister of Canada with that kind of background. But, you know, to be convicted for child sex offenses in Canada is extremely difficult, extremely rare. The evidence must have been very, very overwhelming. So, but where this story is even more shocking is that when he was in court, he provided to the judge 28 letters of reference from top healthcare executives in Alberta and British Columbia, stating that he's a good man, he's a man of faith, he's a good friend, and that some of these healthcare executives pledged that they would trust him with their own children. So these are now top healthcare executives in Alberta, Alberta Health Services, the College of Physicians and Surgeons, and BC Interior Health, saying. Now, they've signed their names, and they've given letters to the judge saying, please keep this guy out of jail. We would trust this guy with our own children. This leads me to believe that this is not a one-off case, that there is a child sex trafficking ring, a pedophilia problem at the leadership of our healthcare systems in Alberta and British Columbia. Because I can tell you, if a friend of mine was charged with sexually assaulting a 7-year-old boy, I would not be writing a letter of reference and putting my name and saying, hey, I would trust this guy with my children. Please keep him out of jail. And 28 strangers or non-relatives, but top executives, these were his peers. So at his level or higher, were willing to put their names to keep this guy out of prison for sexually assaulting three or more children, according to the RCMP. So, I mean, this is just absolutely shocking in my mind, and it sort of tells you how big of a problem this is in our provinces of Alberta and British Columbia, is that they try to keep this guy out of jail.
And one other thing that I want to just show the viewers as well is, Trenzio, will you share my screen? Sometimes you are who your friends are. And Action for Canada has been on the front line exposing drag queens who have access to children. But there's one particular individual, Tyson Cook, who goes by the name of Frida Wales in Kelowna. And this fellow, if you go to our page and look up Tyson Cook and drag queen Frida Wales, you'll find this page. And there's videos that we've put this compilation together where he's murdering people and chopping them up and eating them and feeding them to his pig. And we find out he's an EA in the Kelowna School District, as well as works for Autism BC. And wow. When we were going through his social media, does anybody recognize this person who happened to go into an interview with Ms. Frida Wales, Mr. Frida
Bonnie
Wales?
Bonnie Henry.
And so when this story came up and you were providing this information, thank you, Trenzio, and I was just looking at this horrified and going, boy, that's a familiar face. Why in the world would you be spending time with that individual? And as you and I know, we're not naming any names of anybody that we're saying that person's a sexual offender or that person's a pedophile. We're saying that a normal person would not write a letter of reference for a pedophile. They, exactly. You know, and the fact that hundreds of thousands of our dollars continue to fund this individual. And I know that, you know, anybody can be charged if somebody says, you know what, that person committed a sexual offense and there's going to be an investigation that commences, the police have a duty to investigate. And I guess that if that average person, if it was somebody who was vindictive, you still need to work, you still need an income coming in. It goes back to proven, you're innocent till proven guilty. But this is a lot of money. And that in the end, when he was proven guilty, I'm sorry, I want my tax dollars back. This
exactly.
individual should be paying these tax dollars to his victims.
Well, not only that, but I'll go one step further. What about all the doctors that didn't want to take the COVID-19 vaccine and were put on unpaid leave? Were they paid until the courts were
exactly.
going to hear that case? Because there is a case against Bonnie Henry right now, maybe even several cases put forward by healthcare professionals and doctors, and all those doctors were either fired or put on unpaid leave. So how mm-hmm. come they're treated differently than a child sex offender who's been charged with RCMP with sex crimes against at least three children? That is the stark contrast here, is that you've got doctors who are trying to protect their patients during the COVID-19 pandemic, who are trying to treat them with early treatments, who are writing vaccine exemption letters and so on, were treated worse, were put on unpaid leave and fired, treated much worse than a child sex offender who was caught molesting three children for years and charged with the RCMP with those crimes. If you're going to be fair, then put everyone on unpaid leave and let the courts sort it out. But we're never going to get that money back. The BC taxpayers are never going to get that money back. And again, no. Like I said, why did the BC government give him a top position? We don't know why he fled Alberta. It seems that it was very abrupt. Maybe these child sex abuse scandals were already going to be coming out, and maybe he thought moving provinces would take the heat off him. But it seems the BC government knew exactly what they were dealing with. They gave him a top healthcare position once again in Kelowna, BC, to be in charge of public health. And even when he was charged with these crimes, they put him on paid leave, which to me is just boggles the mind.
Instead of making him a paper pusher somewhere in the background. They put him right giving him access to children again. And, you know, he was a huge part of the corruption at Interior Health as far as lockdowns. Absolutely. Interior Health was one of the worst ones around. Our good friend David Lindsay was on last week, and he's fighting against Interior Health right now. He had bumped into somebody he's being charged with criminal offense, violence, and could be going to jail for 2 years as of December 12th. It's so absurd what is going on right now. And interesting, I just mentioned about this Tyson Cook, who's an EA, and we did a petition to the Kelowna School District asking that they reassess his suitability for being around children. I mean, you've got somebody murdering people in videos and thinking that's an art form. And the school superintendent, Kevin Cardell, gave him a free pass, said, put your social media on private. You know, that's your inspirational creations, and you know, it's on adult only on YouTube. And then when you look up Kevin Cardell, he came from down here in Burnaby, and there was something going on from the school district in Burnaby where there was going to be some sort of payout. It's all secret. I've never been able to uncover what that is. And all of a sudden he's making six figures in Kelowna. This is not right. And yeah. I know that one of the questions was, what can we do? It's what we're doing. Action for Canada is launching chapters nationwide. We're mobilizing citizens within their communities, and then we're raising up good people to get elected. And that's yep. how we're going to go in and, you know, remove these individuals that are so corrupt.
Yeah. And I can tell you what else people can do is someone can go to the courthouse where this case was heard, get the file and get the names of the 28 people and make them public. Leak it to the media. We need to know who those 28 people are, because I can guarantee you they are in top positions of power right now. And if they were willing to put their names to protect the pedophile and try to keep him out of prisons for sexually assaulting 3 children at least, and they were willing to keep him out of prison, then that means they're engaged in God knows what else, what other sex crimes against children, if they're willing to do that for this guy. We need someone to go to that courthouse, get the file, get those 28 letters of reference, copy those names, leak them publicly, make those people known. Because I can tell you, I've been fighting AHS for 8 years. The one yeah. thing that AHS hates more than anything is being named and having their faces put out into the public and being exposed for their crimes publicly and being named. That is what they hate the most. They love operating in the shadows. They love that nobody knows who these AHS executives are, who basically manage the $23 billion that are given to them by the provincial government every single year. And they call it their revenue, and they deal with it as if it was money that they've earned, you know, conducting business, when in reality, it's Alberta taxpayer money. So this is what people can do. And there are people who can do this. There are people who can go to the courthouse, get the documents, get those names, leak them.
I understood, though, that their names had been redacted. That's somewhere where I was reading that they'd been redacted. Is it even possible to expose who these individuals are?
I know that I can tell you that there may have been some kind of a publication ban that a judge tried to place on this to try to keep these details, you know, under wraps. But the information got out anyways.
And I just think when this comes to the security of our children, that each one of these people should be named, because it was friends, it was doctors, yeah. it was colleagues who yeah. had written these letters.
And who cares? Release it, pay the penalty. If they charge you, yeah. you know, with some penalty for releasing the names or whatever, then the hell with it, pay the penalty. I'm sure, you know, we'll raise the money. Get this information out, get it public, yeah. get it. This is unacceptable that there would be 28 people in top healthcare positions in Canada, in Alberta, British Columbia, protecting a child sex abuser who was sexually assaulting a 7-year-old boy under Rachel Notley's government. Then he goes to British Columbia. He gets another cushy position, earning $350,000 under Bonnie Henry. And when he gets charged with sex crimes, they make sure he keeps getting paid and keeps getting over $700,000 of taxpayer money.
Well, we got to remember that David Eby is the acting premier after John Horgan stepped aside, and he was previously the attorney general. So all of these individuals, including Adrian Dix, we're going to name them all, and it brings into question their suitability to be sitting in these trusted positions of office. They need to be removed. They can't be trusted. And we know, as you had said, they're promoting there's no such thing as a trans child. They're promoting the mutilation of our children, taking children away from their parents. I mean, it is so nefarious and so dark and evil. And as we know, evil just, it can't stand being exposed to the light. And so I love it that you've come on the show and that we've been able to expose more light on this evil together. And I know you've got a tight deadline. And so
I'm going to get into another story, because these two stories involve Rachel Notley's NDP government, but they involve British Columbia as well. And I do believe that there's a child sex trafficking ring involving both British Columbia and Alberta. And that's why I think this second story is so important as well. So if I could just dive right into that.
Absolutely. Yes.
I think that would be great. And so I'm gonna dive into this second story here. This was actually the 10 days after this story was released, Rachel Notley announced her retirement from politics, that she would not run again as premier, even though, you know, she didn't quit after landslide losses twice. After losing twice, she would not quit. She hung in there tooth and nail. But then, you know, these pedophile scandals get released, and then suddenly she's resigning and retiring. So now this is a horrific story. This is honestly this was a difficult story to write and put out, because it just turned my stomach every time I was going through the details of this. But you know, this was a so this individual, Dr. Fred Janke, was the president of the Alberta College of Family Physicians under Rachel Notley's government. And of course, under Sarah Hoffman's Ministry of Health. So again, a top position, president of the College of Family Physicians. So he's the head of about 5,000 family physicians in Alberta. Now what happens is in 2017, about the same time period, he goes to a website and a specific chat room on this website that was known to police to be geared towards child sex. So he goes on this website and he's trying to arrange to traffic a 5-year-old girl from Victoria, British Columbia, to bring her to Alberta to have sex with and to make child pornography with. Okay. Now, he's 62 years old. He's the president of the College of Family Physicians in Alberta, and he's trying to traffic a 5-year-old girl to make child pornography with. And to sexually abuse. Now, he spends 9 months trying to make this arrangement with an adult that he, you know, believes can traffic this child for him. What he didn't realize was that he was speaking to a Victoria undercover police officer. And so, you know, he's speaking with an undercover member of the Victoria Police Department. Now, they are collecting 9 months of evidence. And this is, of course, you know, he's discussing with them what he's going to do, you know, what he's going to do to this child when she gets trafficked from Victoria to Edmonton, Alberta. And so they collect evidence for 9 months. And then once they feel they have enough evidence, I believe they give it to the Alberta RCMP. Anyways, he gets arrested by the RCMP on June 28, 2018. And he is charged with making arrangements to commit sexual offenses against a child and making child pornography and distribution of child pornography. Now, this is a top healthcare official under Rachel Notley's government. And here's the initial response of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta. Now, there's two colleges in Alberta. There's the Alberta College of Family Physicians, and he's the president of that. And then there's the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta that controls the medical licenses of 11,000 doctors in Alberta. Steve Buick, who was the college spokesperson at the time, and he eventually became the spokesperson for the Minister of Health, Tyler Shandro, under Jason Kenney's government. So an interesting change of jobs there. he was quoted as saying, you know, people have things in their lives. Doesn't mean he was a bad doctor to his patients. In fact, all evidence is that he was a good doctor to his patients. And people have sides in their lives that are private and that other people can't guess at. So he was trying to make it seem like, you know, he was collecting shells or fossils or, you know, collecting rocks or something that, you know, sex trafficking a five-year-old child is just one of these things that people do on their side. So that's the response, initial response of the college. The initial response of University of Alberta is that they are actually going to refuse to cooperate with the police and they will not give information about him and that he is their employee and he remains an employee of the University of Alberta. So they were protecting him. Anyways, eventually they had to cooperate with the police. So he's then awaiting trial. And about a few days, here we go. So the University of Alberta. So initially they said privacy laws prevent them from commenting on his employment. So they basically refused to cooperate with law enforcement initially. Now, this is the University of Alberta. Remember, Dr. Verna Yu, AHS CEO at this time, she was the CEO at this time of Alberta Health Services, is now the vice president of University of Alberta. That's why this mafia, you know, it controls these institutions and it controls them with the same people. They just kind of, you know, do this kind of a revolving door where they go from one institution to another and they're all friends and they all control these institutions together for the same purposes. So, you know, a few days before his trial in Edmonton in 2020, so 2 years later, he's about to go on trial. What happens is that the case is dropped by the Alberta Crown Prosecutor Service, and they issue a press release saying that the Alberta Crown Prosecution Service has independently determined there was no longer a reasonable likelihood of conviction against him, and they stayed all the charges against him a few days before he was about to go to trial. And so they dropped the entire case. Now, remember, this is the Victoria Police Service spent 9 months accumulating evidence of this guy and everything he said that he was going to do to this five-year-old child. They had more than enough evidence that they felt for a conviction. They hand it over to Alberta. And what does Alberta do? Alberta lets him go. Now, this is the Crown Prosecutor that is letting this pedophile go. And really, the only explanation I can think of is that they were protecting a child sex trafficking ring between British Columbia and Alberta. They didn't want him to expose maybe more details about this child sex trafficking ring, maybe who was involved, other elite clients who were involved in this child sex trafficking ring. You know, maybe there were judges involved. Maybe there were other, you know, other elite individuals involved. They did not want him, you know, to be basically saying anything about this case, and they would rather drop it and let him go than have him in court testifying what he knew about this child sex trafficking operation. I was so shocked that I really have no I don't know what to say when they drop a case like this and just let him go. So he, of course, demands back his license so he could have access to children again. And of course, what happens is the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta gives him back his license. And the only condition they put, now let me see, I have the, here we go, College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta reinstates Dr. Fred Janke's medical license. So he gets access to Alberta's children all over again with nothing. Now they say, the reinstated with practice condition. Let's look at these practice conditions. Okay, so they'll say that a chaperone condition, so he has a chaperone condition placed on his permit. Chaperone condition states that a chaperone must be in attendance when seeing any patient under age 18 who is not already in the presence of a parent or adult guardian. And so that means that he cannot be alone in the room with a minor. However, because of COVID-19, a chaperone could be done over Zoom. So that's about as much protection as the college was willing to give to Alberta's children. And he keeps practicing for another 2 years during the pandemic when other doctors are being suspended left and right for trying to treat their COVID patients with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or writing vaccine exemption letters. No, they can't practice. But the child sex abuser who was trying to traffic a five-year-old girl for sex and child pornography keeps practicing, no problem, with a clean record. I want to show you his record. Dr. Herbert Janke, look at this. Disciplinary actions, none. He has a clean record on his College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta medical license. Clean record. There is nothing about child sex abuse charges here. And okay, he has to have a chaperone. That's it. And he's allowed to keep practicing for another 2 years until his retirement. And so he basically practices as if nothing happened. This is the Alberta College of Family Physicians that he was leading. So it's just fascinating to me that another top executive, the head of a college, the president of a college of family physicians, not only are all the charges dropped against him, he's trying to traffic a five-year-old girl to rape and to make child pornography with. Alberta Crown prosecutors drop everything. Now, meanwhile, these Alberta Crown prosecutors are holding a 10-year prison sentence against Arthur Pavlovsky for preaching a sermon at Coutts. Same prosecutors, but they're dropping a case, a rape case against a five-year-old child and a child sex trafficking case because they're afraid of what he might say on the stand, right? And so bottom line is it comes down to who is protecting these child sex criminals. And these are just two guys who got caught. So for every guy who gets caught, there are another 10, 20, 50 who don't get caught.
It's so pervasive. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about Kathleen Wynne, who is the former premier of Ontario, who brought in the Wynne Sex Ed with the help of Ben Levin, who did exactly as this doctor did. And he was luring moms on social media to prepare their children that he could rape them. And he did end up spending a few years in prison, but I'll just share my screen here. And this is a decision that was recently made in Idaho. Idaho passed two laws targeting pedophiles last week, including one that will allow the death penalty to be considered for child rapists. And Governor DeSantis in Florida had already passed such a law last year. I mean, this until this happens and they're sending, you know, a clear message that we will not tolerate this. Thank you, Terenzio. This is not going to slow down or stop. And pre-COVID.
And I'll tell you something else. So when I put this story out, now, my pedophile stories have been seen by millions of people around the world. My Substack I have readers in about 160 countries in the world, and I can see by the metrics on Twitter that this was seen by millions of people around the world. And I can tell you, after this story came out, this was, again, under Rachel Notley's watch, under her government. 10 days after this story came out, she announces out of the blue that she's quitting politics and she's not running again in the next election. And basically, that's it. That's the end of her political career. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. But this could be touching on something much bigger, because this guy went to a website. He went to, you know, these chat rooms where it was known that child sex trafficking was occurring in these chat rooms. And there's no way that this guy knew exactly where to go. He knew exactly where to find a five-year-old child to traffic. This guy knew what he was doing. This was not a first timer. This was not who stumbled into something by accident. This guy knew exactly what he was doing. And I can guarantee you that he wasn't the only one. I'm sure that, you know, because these pedophiles, they sort of seek each other out. You know, they have friends. They put people of similar, interests, you know, in positions of power and so on. The fact that this guy knew exactly where to go, and the Crown prosecutors were so afraid, they were so afraid of allowing him to go on stand that they would drop all the charges. Like, there was not even an attempt to, like, negotiate a prison sentence or a lowered prison sentence or anything. They're just like, oh my God, like please just go back and we'll give you a medical license and everything. So I wanted to summarize very quickly of who is protecting these child sex abusers. And to me, it's very clear. Alberta Health Services has in its leadership child sex abusers and people who are protecting them. Those 28 people who gave reference letters, they're at the top levels of Alberta Health Services. So there's child sex abusers at the top levels of Alberta Health Services. The colleges of physicians and surgeons give these pedophiles their licenses back. There are two other stories that I put out. I would encourage people to, if they want to go on my Substack, they can see. Now, these were regular. One was a pediatrician, I believe. One was a family doctor. But again, the colleges protected them, gave them their licenses back until one of them was, again, charged and thrown in prison. But they gave them access to children. So the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta protects these pedophiles, give them their licenses. And I'm sorry, assigning a chaperone is not protection for a child. No. That's bullshit. You know, a chaperone could easily be compromised, bribed, and now you can have a chaperone over Zoom. What kind of protection is that for a child, for a vulnerable child, right? Especially for an experienced predator that knows how to get access to children. I'm sorry, that's not protection. That will not fly. The college is guilty of giving these evil people access to children. And I think they need to be held equally liable for these crimes. So you've got Alberta Health Services, you've got the College of Physicians and Surgeons, and then you've got the Alberta Crown Prosecutors that are dropping these cases left and right. Even in the first case I showed, Dr. Albert de Villiers, the Alberta Crown Prosecutors dropped the charges for the other two children that he sexually assaulted. So they convicted him of the seven-year-old boy, and he's serving a five-and-a-half-year prison sentence for that. What about the two other kids? Do they not deserve justice?
No.
You know, he molested two other
kids. And it should be life. It should be life in prison. Yeah. I mean, he's destroyed.
And they dropped the charges. Why did they drop the charges? Would that have exposed potentially a sex trafficking ring? Why did they drop those charges, right? So we need these Crown prosecutors arrested. We need them criminally charged. No one in Canada is above the law. I don't care if you're a Crown prosecutor. I don't care if you're a judge protecting these pedophiles. If you are engaging in this kind of protection of pedophilia and child sex crimes, you need to be arrested. You need to be arrested. You can have your day in court and you can say, look, I'm part of some kind of big elite sex trafficking ring, and I was only doing my job and I had to do this and blah, 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 whatever. Get your day in court. But these people need to be arrested. We can't have Crown prosecutors running around protecting child sex abusers and pedophiles. And until we have that in Canada, until we have judges arrested for protecting child sex abusers, and until we have Crown prosecutors arrested, we have a banana.
I've got to just mention, when we're talking about the judges, a year ago, February, I had meetings with the Chilliwack RCMP because I was exposing these books and I had an investigation that had pursued. And they came back and said that under the criminal code, these books are not considered pornographic or sexually explicit under the criminal code. What people don't understand, when I sat down, the commanding officer was there, the investigative officer and a sergeant, is that pre-COVID, when I had begun 8.5 years ago, Justin Trudeau had, I think it was Bill C-75, and he was lessening the charges against pedophiles and sexual offenders. So even now it goes to court and judges are limited on the extent of what they can charge these pedophiles with. So we've got a lot of cleaning up to do. We've got to overturn this government. Justin Trudeau himself needs to be arrested because he's complicit in facilitating pedophiles. And we see the damage they're doing to our children as well.
So, another topic I want to just devote maybe 5 minutes to, and this is extremely important because this doesn't get any sort of any exposure on social media. And I think just because people don't understand it, is the concept of mature minor. The concept of the mature minor is an attack on children. And it may be an attack through child sex crimes, or it may be an attack through, you know, healthcare or provision of health services, but it is an attack on children. The concept of mature minor. Now, when I go back and when I see who's been pushing this concept of mature minor, the name that comes up is Professor Timothy Caulfield, a law professor at University of Alberta, a Justin Trudeau Foundation Fellow. He became the Trudeau Foundation Fellow in 2013, but he's been pushing this concept of mature minors since before the pandemic. Now, right now, he's won the Order of Canada for attacking doctors like me, doctors like Byron Bridle, doctors like Charles Hoff, Patrick Phillips, Dr. Kulvinder Kaur, Dr. Stephen Malthouse, Dr. Mark Trozzi, Chris Shoemaker, all of us who are raising concerns about the vaccines. He's the big pro-vaccine, pushing the vaccines. He's got this organization called Science Up First that's federally funded with millions of dollars from the Trudeau government. But before the pandemic, he was involved in this pushing this concept of the mature minor. What is the concept of the mature minor? The concept is that there is no such thing Let me rephrase this. So the concept of the mature minor is that a child can be considered mature at any age if the doctor who they are in front of deems them to be mature enough to make life-altering decisions for themselves, like medical decisions for themselves. And where this comes through is that, let's say you want to have a life-altering surgery, right? These mutilation surgeries. Well, if the doctor deems you a mature minor, you don't need parental consent. You don't even need parental involvement at all. And you could be 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7 years old. Same with the COVID vaccines. If a child wants to take a COVID vaccine, and you're deemed a mature minor, now the parent is completely locked out of the decision-making process.
That's right.
And where it's getting really nefarious, as if that wasn't nefarious enough, is they're bringing the concept of mature minor into MAID, medical assistance in dying. So now the federal government has tabled the committee on medical assistance in dying. They had tabled the desire to make it basically make MAID accessible to children who are considered mature minors or mature enough to make that decision that they could, have medically assisted euthanasia without parental involvement and parental consent. Now, right. they've put this on hold, or maybe it hasn't gone through all the discussions and so on, but it's been tabled. It's on the table. And so
it's on hold. Yeah.
So people don't realize that this concept of mature minor is another attack on children. It is being mediated by Trudeau lackeys like Timothy Caulfield at University of Alberta, a Trudeau Foundation fellow. And they're pushing this concept so that it really gets the parent out of the way. So the state has full access to the child. And the state can then tell the child, hey, you know what? You're depressed. You know what? You could commit suicide and we'll help you. Just fill out these four, apply for medical assistance in dying and we'll help you commit mm-hmm. suicide. Right.
Yeah,
and
the child could so be, evil.
The child could be 10 years old, 9 years old, 8 years old. It's basically in the hands of the doctor. And we know that the doctors who are being placed into these decision-making processes, whether it's a mutilating surgery or whether it's medical assistance in dying, whether it's the COVID vaccines or something else, we know that the doctors that they put in these places are radical leftist doctors, mm-hmm. woke doctors who are absolutely on board with abusing these children. These children have absolutely no protection. There's a case right now, actually, that now it's, it doesn't involve a minor child. It involves a 27-year-old woman mm-hmm. who applied for medical assistance in dying simply because she has autism. And so, you don't qualify for MAID for that. But Alberta Health Services, one of the doctors said yay, one of the doctors said nay. And so AHS kindly, out of the kindness, goodness of their heart, provided a third doctor who's like, yeah, of course I'll sign off on it. Let's get you suicided as soon as possible. And she has no medical conditions that MAID would be approved for. Right.
Yeah, in the news update that I'll do after the Empower Hour, I'm going to be touching on this because a judge ruled that she has a right to actually move forward with it. And the father has now put in a second appeal.
Exactly. And the father was fighting this. He was trying to stay the essentially the murder that AHS was planning to commit against this woman. And he said, look, I believe the doctors were pressuring her into this. They were influencing her and pressuring her into this. And AHS said that their process should not be subject to any kind of judicial review, that basically they have the right to kill this woman if they want to. And if it, you know, if their doctors approve it, then the court has no right to, you know, to even oversee or review those actions. This is where terrifying. We are. I mean, we're on a slippery slope to hell in Canada here, and I think Canadians don't even realize how fast we're going down that slippery slope. Where, you know, and again, imagine now the court decision, let's say the court backs AHS on this. Well, now AHS will be conducting medical assistance in dying on anybody they want with absolutely no review of any kind, no judicial review, and no recourse for anybody to even stop them from doing it. This is why it's so crucial.
You consider what they're doing to our kids in the school by indoctrinating, grooming, and sexualizing them and introducing them to this fraudulent gender identity scandal.
Yeah.
And so kids come out, they're confused, they go on puberty blockers, they get sterilized, they get their bodies mutilated, they're 20 years old, they're now depressed because they realize that they've been duped. And now who do you think is going to be lining up asking to be murdered? And that's what it is. It's murder. This is horrendous, the situation we're in.
Mm-hmm. And AHS will happily murder these young individuals. They will happily do it because apparently you know, there's been stories done on the doctors in Canada who are involved heavily in MAID and who've killed maybe 400 or 500 people. They say it's like they love doing it. They absolutely enjoy killing people.
Oh, they think it's honorable. So they think they're doing a good thing.
They think it's like the best thing they've ever done in their career.
Humane.
And so we have these psychopaths, you know, we have these psychopath physicians who are willing to do this for the state. And AHS was fighting the father. AHS was fighting the father. They don't want any judicial oversight, any even judicial review of their process, approval process, right? Which is completely opaque.
It's frightening. And well, Dr. Mackies, I know that you had said you had an hour with us. I'm concerned because I know you have family duties as well. So I'm so much appreciating you taking the extra time with us. But I would like to have you back on the show as well, because I'd like to talk about the turbo cancers. I'd like to talk about ivermectin, how that is as a cure, how they are trying to undermine that. Because, of course, Merck and others have come out now with this cancer vaccine. And Merck was the one that is sabotaging ivermectin as well as a cure and a treatment for cancer as well. So I think we've got a lot of things that we need to cover, but I really appreciate you coming on and specifically showing us the horrible underbelly of our medical officials and the corporations or the structure of them and who's running, you know, these organizations, the billions of dollars that's being poured into our medical systems across Canada and how they're not serving Canadians. So just thank you so much. Do you have a final word for our viewers?
Yes. You know, I'd like to close with this. You know, I really do believe that we are in a post-medical ethics world. You know, if anyone has any illusions that we still have medical ethics and that doctors want the best for you and that the medical establishment, the medical bureaucracy wants the best for you, you know, that's an illusion. That's all gone. That's all long gone. And, you know, we have these horrific things that, you know, MAID is being pushed. You know, the envelope of that is being just pushed further and further. We have vaccine injured people who are only being offered MAID, medical assistance in dying. They're not being offered any assistance. You know, there's been stories recently of a vaccine injured mom in her 30s who has been paralyzed. I think, you know, to some degree she's been paralyzed, and she went to her doctors for help to try to get help with this neurological syndrome, and they offered her MAID twice.
Yeah.
They just offered her medically assisted suicide. That's all doctors are offering now. This is our future. So we need to take back control of these healthcare institutions if we are to have any kind of, you know, future here in Canada. They are conduits for globalism. In Alberta, it's Alberta Health Services is absolutely tied to these globalist institutions. I have been letting Danielle Smith know and you know, the people around her know that we need to clean up AHS and the colleges. We need to dissolve the colleges, make new medical boards, also make new institutions for nurses because the colleges are all corrupt. They're rotten. They're private, you know, they're private corporations run by mafia lawyers, basically. And we don't have a lot of time to clean up these institutions. Otherwise, we're going to have hell on earth. If the WHO pandemic treaty gets pushed through in May, then effectively AHS is going to be carrying out, and the colleges are going to be carrying out the diktats of the WHO and the WHO pandemic treaty.
Right. And I just want to make sure that our viewers know very clearly that the WHO and the UN are unelected bodies and we don't have to comply with anything. I don't want people to be fearful that even if they pass this pandemic rule, anybody in this country that supports it is committing treason against its citizens. And yeah. I need our listeners, I need our viewers to embrace this and not kowtow to it or surrender to it. You make your voice known very well that you're not going to comply with any of these dictates, and even write your MPs, visit them, and make sure that they know that no health official in this country has any business violating our Constitution. They don't have the power to do that, and AHS nor anyone else has the power to do that as well. Sorry, I get a bit uppity about that one. You know, because we just people will just comply with it, Dr. Mackies, and it's important for us to know. No way, Jose.
Absolutely. Non-compliance is key with all of this. And I would love to see, you know, I would love to see more exposure of crimes. I know that there are people who've seen, you know, who've seen horrific things happen. I was informed after I put out my pedophile stories, there were more stories that were coming to me of people telling me that, yes, there are AHS executives right now who are sexually assaulting children, that there are AHS executives who are using the servers in the hospitals to transfer child pornography. In mm-hmm. huge quantities, they are using.
Well, we want to see their faces. We want people to recognize these individuals when they go to the grocery store. That's what, you know, this is about.
Exposure. We need exposure. Absolutely. We need more people to come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. You know, I've been in the courts 20 times. I've been threatened with this, that, or whatever. All kinds of, you know, court actions, what have you. Don't be afraid. Now is not the time to be afraid. Now is the time to fight for our children. I'm fighting for my children. You know, I fled a communist country and I didn't flee a communist country to end up in another communist country that my kids are going to grow up under, where I'm going to be afraid that, you know, they'll end up in front of some doctor who's going to be like, hey, you're a mature minor. Let's off with you. Oh, you're depressed. Let's off with you before. And don't tell your dad or don't tell your mom because, you know, we mm-hmm. don't want the parents involved in decision-making. I don't want to live in a country like that. I don't want my kids to grow up in a country like this. This is a Canada I don't recognize anymore. And I will not put up with it. I'm going to fight as long as I can, but I want to see many other people fight as well. Now is the time to fight. Now is not the time mm-hmm. to sit on the fence or be scared of, I might get dragged before the court or whatever. You know, we're way past that. We need to fight. And if you have evidence of crimes being committed, whatever it may be, you know, I focus on AHS in the college, but I know there's big crimes being committed in the education sector. Bring it forward. Let's get it all out. Get these people exposed.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Mackey, so much for coming on the show. Thank you for your tenacity and your courage. You are definitely well aligned with Action for Canada and all of our followers who are on the front line and fighting this war alongside with you. So thank you so much, and we'll have you on the show again.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me again.
Okay. Thank you. Woo! All right, that's a huge topic. You can see why I was torn about, do we talk about the turbo cancers and other issues that are so important? But I will definitely reach out to Dr. Mackies and have him on to cover those, because we know a lot of people know at least one person, if not half a dozen, who are being diagnosed with cancer right now. My uncle passed away last week, Sunday, very sadly. He was like a father to me, and he passed away of old age, but my aunt is considerably younger, and she's been diagnosed with cancer. She's not Jab, but a close family member is, who she's been spending time with. We have precious chapter leaders who are also in this situation, and we want some answers to questions. And so we're going to work towards doing just that and trying to lead you to treatments and resources that could potentially help. But be sure to go onto our webpage under COVID-19. You will see, once you hover on it, there will be treatments, and we have Dr. McCullough's protocols on there, and we highly recommend that you get onto these protocols and these treatments, because they are believed to break down the spike proteins in your system. Next week, we are going to have a wonderful city councilor coming on from Pickering, Ontario, Lisa Robinson. Talk about tenacious. I've met with Lisa several times regarding other issues, but she is going through hell and back as a city councilor who was elected to represent her constituents. And she is working with a very corrupt mayor and city council. And we're going to be exposing that. That's part one, because I'm also hoping to have I believe his name was Mayor Colvin from Alberta on the show. And once I have word of that, I'll let you know as well. But we need to know what's going on within these, within mayors and city councils, where all of the councilors maybe were bought and paid for previously, but we're slowly getting our own people in there. And guess what? There's major corruption. You want to know why all these townhomes are going up in your community? Because they're getting huge government incentives to destroy this country and to destroy your cities and towns in order to move towards the surveillance cities. All right. Someone like Lisa Robinson is right on the front line and exposing what's going on within. So be sure to join us next week for that. All right. So I always like to share a Bible verse. I think that we should be daily in the Word of God, because it encourages us, but it also calls out evil and gives us direction. There's so much that we can learn from being in the Word of God. And so Proverbs 11:3, it states, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." And then the second verse that I chose is from Luke 17:1-2. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone though who they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." And thank you, Trinzio. And so what we're talking about tonight, when we had Dr. Mackey's on the Empower Hour, was the corruption going on and the cover-up of sexual abuse of children and pedophilia. And God he takes that very seriously. In fact, he says to harm even the hair of a child, it says better to wrap a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea, for the wrath of God is coming. So vengeance will be his. He's going to be taking care of all of this, but we need to also do our part, and we need to expose evil. And we need your help to do that. So we're asking you to join us on the front line. If you're not already part of one of Action for Canada's chapters within your community, please consider joining one. If there is no chapter in your community, then please consider becoming a chapter leader and fill out the form that under join on our A4C chapters page, there is a registration form there. All right, because we're going to take back this country one town and community at a time. And we know that God is on our side. He's still sitting on the throne. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and God bless Canada.
Today's episode was sponsored by Galatians 5:1 Freedom Coffee. Galatians 5:1 is the first freedom-fighting coffee company focused on bringing unity back into community by bridging the divide with gourmet coffee. It goes beyond fueling the fight for freedom. Action for Canada receives 10% of all coffee sales made. Galatians 5:1 offer a wide selection of coffee products. Go to Galatians51freedom.coffee to choose your own personal coffee experience made just for you.
virtuous hearts will pursue it. You have a virtuous heart if you are here today pursuing freedom and righteousness. And then verse 23 comes along with a promise. God says he will turn the sins of evil people